Daily Blast.
For most of the season, Cliff Kingsbury has been very happy to be here, fully aware that 39-year-olds who get fired from their alma mater in college don't usually fall up the ladder and land in the NFL. And I think that attitude ended Sunday in Tampa, because I think for the first time in his NFL head coaching career, Kingsbury felt like he was robbed, because he was. This, folks, was NFL injustice at its finest. Kingsbury's play calling was really good for the most part. He took risks. He went for it three times on fourth down, and then he got jobbed by the officials. This game was the most frustrating outcome we've seen in a while, and it was eerily reminiscent to our lone Super Bowl appearance. The Cardinals gave up TDs at the end of each half, like they did against the Steelers in 2009. They gifted a victory to Bruce Arians, just like they did in 2009. They walked away feeling stung by the officiating, just like they did in that Super Bowl in Tampa. So what happens now? Well, I hope this game is the scar tissue that gives this team and this coach even more toughness and dedication and motivation and a sense of vengeance going forward, a hard loss that allows Kingsbury to make some hard decisions, some of which are long past due. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Go test drive the ultimate driving machine. Chapman BMW has two great locations, one off the I-10 in Chandler, one on Camelback Road in Phoenix. Visit them online at ChapmanBMW.com today.
Yeah, wow. A lot of connections, similarities,
yeah.
Familiar feelings. The Cardinals don't play at Raymond James Stadium all that often.
No. And that's kind of the way I felt with this thing yesterday. Now, obviously, the stakes aren't nearly the same. I'm not. Don't mishear me on that.
Yeah.
But the feeling of yuck, close this game down. The feeling of just forces conspiring against you was very, very powerful in this one. And you can start with the officiating, and we're going to go there again because, on one hand, you had a defensive pass interference assigned to a review of which it wasn't called on the field. And that is something, I don't know how many times it's happened in the NFL this year. Hasn't been much.
Mm-mm.
In fact, it almost seemed like for most of the year, the NFL was trying to defy its own rule, which allowed the whole thing in the first place to take place. Now, you can make an argument. Was the contact incidental? Was the ball even catchable? One point in time, Tom Brenneman, who I think has gotten much better as a football announcer, he said, well, it's not like that ball was really overthrown. That ball landed 5 yards inside the end zone. No, he didn't.
It barely landed inside the end line.
5 yards inside the end zone would be midway through the end zone. The end zone's 10 yards long. That ball barely made it.
Maybe he was set on Canada distance.
Maybe. So that play, that assigning of defensive pass interference, I thought, oh, God, this is ridiculous. When the Cardinals got the ball back, I had very low expectations because you know my faith in Todd Bowles. And the one thing Todd Bowles does in situations like that, he blitzes on every play. He blitzes from odd angles. He never lets a two-minute, he rarely lets a two-minute drive come against his defense in that situation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the lack of urgency the Cardinals showed in that drive, I didn't like. But on that last play, Kyler Murray threw up a ball that just the arc and the distance, it was a really well thrown ball, and there was clearly defensive pass interference. Clearly. I mean, the guy arrived very early. It was kind of like the play that sparked this rule in the first place. That premature contact in a playoff game between the Rams and the Saints.
Not as egregious, but
no.
You know, similarities. It was pretty clear.
Right, pretty clear of a guy arriving pretty early. And they did nothing. There was no booth review, and they just let the Buccaneers walk off the field celebrating.
Yeah.
That stinks. That really, really stinks.
I'll say this. If they are not going to initiate booth review consistently on controversial calls in the last 2 minutes of the game, that rule needs to change. You should give each team one challenge at their disposal in the last 2 minutes. If they're not going to feel Like, it's necessary to take another look at a play that could have very easily been overturned. There was that much contact.
Oh, yeah. And then to explain to people who don't know, a half can't end on a defensive penalty. The Cardinals would have been given one untimed down to attempt a game-tying field goal. And the way Zane Gonzalez has been kicking this year, they probably tie that game and go into
overtime. Why is that even a rule? Why would you prevent someone from using a challenge with 2 minutes left? What's the point of that rule?
The point of the rule is that they don't want coaches to have to squander their challenges inside 2 minutes, where the league says, we got those. Those are all on us. But they're supposed to challenge every play like that.
Mm-hmm. And what they explained, and this is from Mike Florio on ProFootballTalk.com, per a league source, the play was considered for a potential replay review, but a decision was not made to officially review it because it was determined that the play would not have been overturned if the review had happened.
That's garbage. That's just garbage.
That makes you even madder a Cardinals fan.
That's like David Stern going, oh, the palaver. That is so disrespectful. That is a shut up, take your loss, and go home, is what that is.
Yeah.
That's
exactly what it is.
What a palaver.
It's exactly, you know what it is? I'm going to equate this with my weekend trip home from Mexico. Can I do that really quickly?
Oh, please.
Okay, on Saturday morning, wake up, get back, because I've got things to do, all right? Had to get out of Mexico, big college football game. I had to work this weekend. So I'm driving back, and I'm probably 500 feet from the border. Okay, mm-hmm. And suddenly there's flashing lights behind me. I'm getting pulled over by policia, 500 feet, maybe 1,000 feet from the border. Officer rolls up to the car, Senor, you're speeding. Oh, yeah, sure I was. And I looked at the guy, said, come on, man, you're not doing this, are you? And he's like, can I see your license? All right, we're doing this. Give him the license. So, Daniel, we clocked you at 61 kilometers. Shows me a radar gun. Could have got at the dollar store.
He's always stuck on 61 kilometers, by the way. That number never changes.
Right, and I'm not an idiot. You don't speed through Sonoyta. I know that, okay? This guy's taxing me. So he tells me, yeah, there'll be 1,500 and something pesos. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And on his way up, I separated this money from that money, gig money from what I got. I said, look, here's $80, because that's basically what it costs. Because he's telling me, you got to go to the police station with us. Mm-hmm. And I got time for that. You want to do that? Okay. So you know what it was? It was take your losses and get out of here. That's what happened to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Accept this injustice. Swallow this. Take your losses and get out of here.
So you're saying you should have been granted a booth-initiated review to see if you were actually speeding.
And there wasn't going to be one.
No, you lost and the Cardinals lost.
I did. So I relate. And I tried to say this at the beginning of the show because I did, even in what I wrote today, I cannot go down this road because what happened to the Cardinals from an officiating standpoint was so egregious, it's going to make me sound like everything I despise. And that is Mr. Joe Homer, who always thinks that your team is getting jobbed. And I hate being that guy. And I don't want to be that guy.
No, nobody wants to be that guy.
But yesterday, we were that team. Take your medicine and get out of here.
They jobbed themselves, too. Yes, but and people will say, well, it doesn't come down to one play. When that play is the last play, and it's not officiated correctly or to the full letter of the law or the intent of the rule book,
yeah,
what are we doing?
Uh-huh.
What are we doing?
I know. What are we doing?
And the feelings of, let's say they do grant the booth review, and they look at it and they say, yeah, nothing conclusive, play stands, game over. Okay, it still stinks.
Yeah.
But at least they went through the protocol.
Remember what they did in that World Series game? That really, really long review to still get the call wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I was fine with it, because at least they took the time to act like they cared. Here, they're not even acting.
Well, that was
like
frustrating because it shouldn't have even been reviewed at all.
Okay. All right. So, Cardinal fans have every right to be mad about officiating, even though we're going to sound like, oh, isn't that cute? Look at Phoenix. They were robbed again. Okay. So, Cardinal fans are mad about that. Cardinal fans are mad about David Johnson, who had 3 weeks off and a guy barking at his heels, threatening to take his job. And that's how he looks. Now, what Darren Urban said, I guess there's some weight to it, because if he's a guy that just is that plotting because he doesn't trust his ankle, then don't be telling us you're 100% good to go.
No.
He took 3 weeks off.
Well, he didn't take three. He was hurt. I mean, okay. He was legitimately hurt.
He didn't play for 3 weeks.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. He didn't play for 3 weeks.
But it sounds like he took a three-week vacation. No, he didn't take 3 weeks off.
Well, he did. From 3 game days, he did. Well, 2+. Okay.
So an ankle injury is a vacation.
No, it's not a vacation. It's not a vacation. But in the case of this, I don't like that, and I'm tired of this because it's just this nonstop. Okay, he'll be better. Maybe he'll get it together now. Maybe when's it ever going to happen? I don't think it's ever going to happen again. I think David Johnson has lost his taste for football. For running the football.
I can't disagree with it.
It's what it looks like to me.
And I'm the moron who came on the airwaves last week and said he's going to run for 100 yards.
It's what it's been looking like to me for a long time. And you played those cuts earlier about how much his wife wanted him to retire after one of those really bad injuries that he had suffered. You remember the end of that season in L.A. when it looks like his leg was just... Remember that?
Yeah.
And he got out of that okay.
And he described it as it was worse than it... It looked worse than it was.
Yeah.
Because it looked bad.
It looked awful.
It looked really bad.
Then came that wrist injury, and he's had ankle issues, but he just looks... He's running super slow.
But let me ask you this question: do you think he will still get opportunities? Though you could ask, I guess, Cliff Kingsbury at 1 o'clock. But as long as Chase Edmonds is out, they're not going to just give Drake, 25 carries a game. Or do you think they will?
No, I don't think any running backs get 25
right.
carries because of this offense. I mean,
what I mean
that's
is
one
like
of the
100%.
Things I wanted to get into is the Cardinals stuck with the run enough yesterday? But.
If he's practicing, don't they know if he's running hard, if he can cut? Don't they know? Aren't they seeing it on the practice field? Or is it looking okay there and not there? We're going to ask him.
Yeah. Still being injured and not being injured but not trusting yourself is two different things.
Two different things.
Yeah, and the second one is a lot more concerning.
Because it ties into a bigger pattern.
And this would not be the first time... a player was affected like that. If you go back way far in Cardinals history, Tim Rosenbaugh, you remember Tim Rosenbaugh, right?
Mm-hmm. I do.
His first season as a starter, he was as rugged and as physical a quarterback. I mean, he would run the ball. He would take physical punishment. He played every single snap. He got hurt in the opener the next year. Was never the same player. Just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to guys, the mental aspects of dealing with an injury, they can be very, very costly. And I'm not saying that's the case here. I'm saying it's fair to speculate. And when you hear Darren Urban come in and say, yeah, he looks slow. He looks like he doesn't trust his ankle.
Okay, this yesterday was an all-timer. What he looked like prior to yesterday was just like he didn't have any burst left in him, or he would not jump cut anymore. And prior to that, it was the ankle tackles that constantly brought him down. He had one moment this season when he bulled a guy into the end zone, and I thought he was back. Mm-hmm. I thought he was back. Yesterday was the low point because he just looked plodding. And I can't imagine he looked like that in practice, or they would have never called his number to begin with.
Yeah. In fairness, it wasn't like in his 10 carries, Kenyon Drake lit the world on fire either. He had 10 carries for, 35 yards, and 17 of those were on one carry. So the Cardinals didn't run the ball effectively at all yesterday.
But there's a big difference in optics between the two.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Can't disagree with that.
So, look, I don't want to speak negatively about David Johnson, but I'm not a BS guy, he is not the same guy, and I don't know whether it's he won't or he can't. And if he can't, he needs to be shut down until he can, because he's not helping the team.
And if he won't, then that's another issue altogether.
And then if he won't, then it becomes a question of, can you reach him? Can you make him? Look, there was a time when Jared Veldheer walked out of training camp when he lost his taste for football. He lost his taste for battle. He came back. He was never the same that year, and his place on the team was never the same. I've seen this happen with running backs a lot. Running backs they take a ton of damage. You know that,
mm-hmm.
and even when they're rolling good, like let's Dalvin Cook last night. If you watch the Vikings Cowboys game, every carry that guy got, maximum effort. Do you know the kind of pounding he's taking right now? He's cool with it now. He might wake up a couple years from now and go, I don't want to do this anymore. Ronald Jones for Tampa yesterday, running monstrously hard. There are guys like this.
Ran so hard he lost the ball without even being touched.
In his eyes, did you see the look of sheer terror? Oh, where did that go? Right? And so this happens to running backs, and I'm not judging them because I can't even imagine the toughness you take to endure the hits that they do. It's ridiculous, and I don't know. It just the optics do not look good for David Johnson,
no.
And he was benched yesterday.
He was, but to answer Jarrett's question, I think as long as Chase Edmonds is on the sidelines, you are going to go into games with two running backs healthy. Kenyon Drake might turn out to be your more feature guy, but David Johnson, even though the number of opportunities might be dwindling, he'll still get those opportunities to show something, I think.
How did you read it yesterday? Let's say before the fumble, how did you think that was going to wind up? 50-50 between the workload between the two?
No, because I thought it was pretty telling early in the game, and they came out, and the first set was a two running back set, and they used that a handful of times. I don't have the exact number of times they came out with that personnel set, but it seemed like David Johnson wasn't getting the ball when Kenyon Drake was on the field.
No,
with him.
No, that's, they were pretty obvious.
They
to
were
me.
Featuring Drake
it
more.
It was pretty obvious to me.
Yeah.
And so, this is a real bad situation because of his contract status. I will say theoretically, one of the reasons why people inside this building and people who know football were complimentary of Steve Keim in his acquisition of Kenyon Drake was that generally when a GM makes a financial investment like he did with David Johnson, he's wearing it, so he's panicking, and now it's like, you got to play this guy. He's our starter. We got to get him going. Okay? So getting Kenyon Drake was sort of a big step to give Cliff Kingsbury a back who's got juice in his legs, given Chase Edmonds' status at that end of that Saints game. All right. When you bring it full circle here now, it's how do you get it back out of him? Given what his financial parameters are, nobody's going to trade for him now. Certainly not with that contract. That contract is very, very player friendly to the point where this is a mistake in the way they guaranteed a lot of this money going forward. They got to find a way to try to make him give them some value. And I don't know what it's going to be because you run like that, you're going to lose your standing in the locker
room. I think there's one obvious, if you want to trade him in the offseason, I think there's one obvious destination. He played in that stadium yesterday. Bruce Arians loves to collect himself some former Cardinals.
Does he love David Johnson, though?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't
that.
Think he ever did.
By the way, speaking of BA and going back to the gist of your blast today, that Cliff Kingsbury got robbed, that he was the more deserving head coach to win that game yesterday. Jenna Lane, who covers the Bucks for ESPN.com today, wrote, "Yes, Bruce Arians knew he was out of challenges when he threw the challenge flag, but wanted to prove a point to the officials. Quote, Kyler Murray was obviously on his knee. It was a timeout. I wanted to make a statement. I still thought we should have won the pass interference on MJ Stewart. We obviously didn't. When things are going in a game, there's only certain ways you can get your point across. It could have cost us losing the timeout, but it wasn't a penalty, so ... We know that that's BA style. He'll say stuff on Sunday. He'll double down on it on Mondays. Prove a point?
This is...
Had he lost that game, which he should have, had he lost that game, he'd
be
getting
roasted.
Crucified
roasted
for the second time this year after a loss.
Roasted.
The first time was opting to move the ball back on a game-winning field goal.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That to me, and I, you know, I love BA as a guy.
So do I.
Okay. But when you comes to justice, Cliff Kingsbury deserved to be the resounding winner in that battle yesterday. Bruce Arians, what he did with those challenges, you're right. That would have been this. I forgot to even factor that in. That electing. To move the kicker back. I mean, come on.
Well, even the decision that he made yesterday to challenge a pass interference call and still talking about it on Monday, guess what? You're not going to get a pass interference call overturned. It's been the anomaly.
I know. So that to me was, that's part of what made me feel really bad here because Cliff Kingsbury had taken a lot of criticism from me included over his performances against the Saints and the following week against the 49ers. Three very, very, very controversial, potentially really bad calls. I thought he atoned himself very, very well yesterday. Thought he was on it. I thought the fourth down calls were great. Even that zany, and the way I looked at it was this. We saw what happened to Max Williams, and that was a terrible moment. I'll bet you it meant the world to guys who care about Max Williams. He was put back in that game.
Yeah, he actually caught a pass.
Caught a pass.
And ran like he was angry at the world on that play.
He did. And that's the kind of thing where some coaches would go, really? You dropped that? Go sit down. We're not going to see you for a while.
That might make the whole decision to bench David Johnson all the more telling.
Exactly.
Max Williams drops a fourth down pass that he would have walked into the end zone for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He got an opportunity to atone for himself. David Johnson did not.
Nope. So that, then there's the defense that fans are mad at. You can throw Patrick Peterson into that because there was one really crucial penalty on him. And it just, it's a mixed bag. I mean, people are watching this team because they're exciting to watch because of that quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
But yesterday was about as
that's how frustrating yesterday was. We've spent a good portion of the show talking about that game, and we really haven't dived into Kyler Murray's performance.
I know.
Which there's a lot to dive into. Cornhole Cup is back. Text Cornhole to 620-620 to compete in the Arizona Sports Cornhole Cup on Sunday, December 22nd at Casino Arizona Field, the home of Phoenix Rising FC. It's over $2,000 available in cash prizes. Proceeds will benefit Sanderson Ford's Operation Santa Claus. Text Cornhole to 620-620 to compete. Yeah, we're all pretty optimistic about where the offense is headed for the Arizona Cardinals. But what about the other side of the ball? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday, live from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
And now it's time to give someone an opportunity to spin the
Wheel of Fortune.
Take it away, Bickley and Murata.
That's right. It's the Wheel of Sports Trips. Our qualifying winner today, Oscar Guzman of Phoenix. Oscar, you've got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870 to win an Amazon Echo and get qualified to spin the Wheel of Sports Trips and win one of those amazing getaways to Seattle, L.A., Vegas, or Chicago. If Oscar does not call within 10 minutes, we will open up the phone lines to qualify someone else. Once again, Oscar Guzman of Phoenix, you have 10 minutes starting right now to call 602-260-9870.
Well, lucky qualifier, your 10-minute countdown has begun. Be careful dialing, and thanks for playing the
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, it's Big Red Monday. We're live at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. Cliff Kingsbury scheduled to join us at 1 o'clock for his weekly visit today. Frustration, that is a word that will be used to describe this game from now until forever, because it was one of those games, and I said this earlier in the show, Bick, it was a game where the Cardinals, I thought going in, had a better team. I thought during the course of the 60 minutes they had the better team. It was kind of an exercise in futility for a lot of the game. One team making a mistake, the other team failing to capitalize on those mistakes. But I really feel like this was a game on paper that the Cardinals should have won because they've beaten all the teams that they're better than. I think they're better than Tampa Bay right now. But it was frustrating in that they let it slip through their hands. And that might have lasting effects on this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Maybe in a good way. Maybe this taste of injustice will fire up this team and kind of fuel them going forward when they're obviously not playing for a playoff berth or anything like that. This was a important win from my perspective because if you're Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, the magic number to me for a great season would be 7. 7-8-1, I think that would be a really, really monumental achievement. And to get there, I think you had to win yesterday's game. And that didn't happen. Then you get down to Kyler Murray's performance, because the fact of the matter is, that interception came at a horrible time, and it's really a shame, because that streak he had put together was amazing. And it kind of overshadowed another game in which continues to show the ability to jumpstart the offense, to self-correct himself. I mean, he got off to a bad start. He was airmailing everything early on. And he kind of got himself calibrated. He got himself dialed in. He came up with a huge run out of a scramble. And I think it was another example of how the Cardinals secured a really valuable chunk of their future in this kid. There are some things he needs to work on, obviously. I didn't like the lack of urgency in that two-minute warning down the stretch.
Can't let 36 seconds of running clock expire you're chasing a win.
No, you can't. And I also think that he gets a little skittish, especially in screen passes. He never properly sells a screen pass. He's got to learn to do that.
And that was a big factor in yesterday's game because on the flip side, the Buccaneers killed the Cardinals' defense on the screen pass.
Yes, they did. And it's just kind of the way he gets. You get guys in his his area, and he gets a little bit skittish. He needs to calm that down a little bit. But all in all, the progression of him and Cliff Kingsbury's hand in developing him, I think, is a big win and a big positive going forward.
Yeah, I thought he was really good yesterday outside of the interception. I was impressed by the fact that he didn't start out on fire. He kind of built up to being on fire. He threw the deep ball really well yesterday. He had the longest run of his career so far and looked aggressive in doing it. I think that run in the past, maybe he scoots out of bounds a little earlier than he did, but he felt a little bit more comfortable to stay on the field to play and then still avoided a big shot. Now, he did take a big shot yesterday. JPP got him on that second-to-last play of the game.
That's
where
right.
You're like, is he going to get up from that one?
Yep.
As he took an awkward fall. But I thought overall it was a really good performance by Kyler Murray. And it's almost impossible not to feel really optimistic about this Cardinals offense moving forward. Defensively is a different story completely. And I just wanted to throw this out there because this is fact from Pro Football Focus, at least in their truth. The lowest rated offensive player for the Cardinals yesterday, Bick, was David Johnson. The lowest rated defensive player on the Cardinals yesterday was
Patrick Peterson. Holy cow. That's 2 weeks in a row for Patrick with that designation.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
41.8 overall defensive grade yesterday. 39.1 in coverage.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I take that for what it's worth. Again, it's Pro Football Focus. It's their methodology. It's their lens that they use in grading these players.
Well, it certainly makes sense with David Johnson.
Put stock in it. Other people don't. That's, like I said, it's their truth.
Their truth on Patrick Peterson last week was right on the money. That low grade he deserved last week, he deserved that low grade last week. So that kind of gives a little credence to their methodology, if you ask me. So, that's a shame because we're watching a couple of cornerstone Cardinals who were very, very popular at one point in time.
Yeah, but I mean,
you look at a guy like Larry Fitzgerald who never loses anything.
True. I mean, another outstanding catch from him. Defensively, though, when you talk about building blocks, cornerstones moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have on this defense right now? I mean, Buda Baker has obviously upped his play in the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
Byron Murphy had the pick, but he did not grade out well for the rest of the game from Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm.
Chandler Jones is Chandler Jones, but how much more do you have from him? Rodney Gunter, you know what? I will say this.
Yeah.
He played well yesterday. That was his best game of the year.
He did. I agree with that. That's something we haven't seen from him in a while, playing at that kind of a level.
But when we opened up the phone lines, we had one caller suggest just strip it down on defense, and that's where you need to build. Everything this offseason should go into the defense, and I don't disagree with him necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a matter of scheme or personnel with the defense? I think yes is the answer to that question.
The answer is yes. Yeah.
It's just been frustrating to watch because we haven't really seen anything resembling improvement defensively all season long. And they made Jameis Winston look good yesterday.
And he still had
the two picks. I get it. But I don't think they made life difficult enough on Jameis Winston. Do you?
No, absolutely not. They made Jameis Winston look good when he's not.
Walking molasses, is that what he called him?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of is. And And Darren Urban referenced the play. That's you're right. There was that very succinct individual play when Terrell Suggs had a shot at him, couldn't make it. Cassius Marsh had a shot at him, couldn't get him down. It's the defense is just it's really. It's unbecoming. It bothers me because there are times when they look good, but they're always at their worst in the biggest moments. And that, except for the Giants game. The Giants game, they made plays at the end of the game. That's what made that game different. Patrick Peterson forced that fumble, and they shut that team down. That's why that game felt so satisfying in real time. Certainly what they didn't do yesterday.
Yeah. We are going to be joined in a little bit by Cliff Kingsbury. He just started his weekly press conference on Mondays with the assembled media outside. Then he'll join us here in the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center radio facility. Oscar Guzman, you got 2 minutes left to call. Two minutes remaining to spin the to qualify to spin the wheel of sports trips. Coming up, we'll get into some Suns talk as well. Big win for the Suns over the Nets last night. We'll touch on it straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. No soup for you, Oscar. We open up the phone lines right now. Give me a caller number, Bick.
Caller number six, Vinny.
Caller six right now, 602-260-9870. If you are caller number six, you win an Amazon Echo, and then you'll be qualified to spin the wheel of sports trips, one of those amazing getaways to Seattle, L.A., Vegas, or Chicago. Again, looking for caller number six at 602-260-9870 for the wheel of sports trips. Cliff Kingsbury moments away from joining us. He's still meeting with the media, but Suns got a big win last night, a 26-point win over the Brooklyn Nets at Talking Stick Resort Arena, a game that looked like it was going to be a laugher from the beginning.
Yep.
Brooklyn got hot. They got back into the game, and then once the Suns got their footing again, they dominated that basketball game. It was a thing of beauty from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah, they did. And what they did is they kind of reinfused that team and their story with a lot of optimism coming out of their loss to Miami. And it sets up this massive showdown with LeBron and the Lakers. They got upended by a shorthanded Toronto team. They're not going to be looking past the Suns. I cannot wait to Tuesday. I mean, I don't know the last time I look forward to a regular season basketball game like this one. For all those reasons. And I just think the team made a powerful statement yesterday by attacking the game in the moment the way they did. It was sort of like you could tell they wanted to prove that they were better than the team that lost at home to Miami. And they did. And they checked a lot of boxes, in my opinion.
Yeah, they did check a lot of boxes. Offensively, we mentioned it, the efficiency with which the Suns operated. Not only did they score 138 points, they hit 19 three-pointers. They hit 53% of their shots. They had 37 assists, which is a season high, 7 turnovers, which is a season low. For the first time in team history, they had 7 or more players, Bick, have two three-pointers or more in the game. Every starter had at least 2 three-pointers. Booker had 4. Tyler Johnson had 3. Cam Johnson had 3.
Mm-hmm.
The bench, I think, took a step forward last night. Javon Carter, interestingly enough, was removed from the rotation. So they've shortened the rotation a little bit. That does 2 things. Obviously, it shortens the rotation right now, but it also might open up an opportunity for Ty Jerome, once he's ready to rejoin the team from that ankle injury, to step in and try to get his feet wet as he gets used to NBA basketball. But I don't think anybody had a bad game last night. Frank Kaminsky is still struggling.
Yeah.
He went 0-for-6 from the floor, and then he hit his last shot, which was a dunk. But if you look at the other little things that he did, still had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. He was a plus 14, shooting 1-of-7 from the floor. And it was good just to see the ball go into the hoop for Frank Kaminsky, even though it was a dunk. It's a big stage for the Phoenix Suns going into that game against the Los Angeles Lakers tomorrow. Our winner, caller number six, was Bill Muir. He was our winner, caller number six on the wheel of sports trips.
Congratulations to our caller, who now gets a shot at spinning the
wheel of sports trips.
Bickley and Murata, who's that lucky dialer?
Yeah, Bill Muir was, again, our winner, caller number six. We'll take a quick timeout. Cliff Kingsbury will join us straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.